Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by Tres Comas, the tequila for billionaires. Episode 212, React Native EU Roundup.
So I have to tell you this funny story about my brother. My brother is not a, he's not like a professional developer. He does like WordPress websites. This is my brother Lucas, by the way.
WordPress and developers are about to come for you on Twitter for calling them not real developers.
Oh man. Well, if they're listening to this, kudos.
I don't know how many we have in the audience.
I was a WordPress developer at one point. I'm not casting shade, but it's not like his main job, right? Like he's in marketing mainly, and he does some other things. And, but for some reason he listens to React Native Radio. So hi, Lucas.
Some reason, it's not like his brother's the host or anything.
I appreciate the support. I mean, you know, like that's pretty good. But like I was talking to him on the phone the other day, which is weird, right? Like, do you talk to your siblings on the phone?
Never.
Never. See, Lucas is like an old soul. He prefers to talk on the phone. He doesn't like to text. And he just turned 31. Like, he's not like, I'm almost 40 and I'm different, I guess. But yeah, that's just how he is. So he calls me up and we're talking. And then he's like, yeah, I've been listening to React Native Radio, you know, talking about it a little bit. And then he said, you know, though, I saw that one come up, the We React to News thing. And I'm like, man, you know, I get enough news and politics elsewhere. I don't want to hear the hosts of React Native Radio telling me about it.
I think we need to clarify that.
I think we need a different name for
not that.
That it's
kind
not
of news.
World news.
React Native news.
React Native news. Yes, we're not going to get into politics and events and whatnot. Anyway, I thought that was a funny little interaction there.
We'll have to come up with a new title.
I mean, I don't know how much more relevant it will be.
Take suggestions. If you have suggestions, hit us up on Twitter.
That's true. Yeah. At React Native RDIO is the handle. Oh, I guess I should do intros. I'm Jamin Holmgren. I'm your friendly host, CTO of Infinite Red. I don't know. Like, do I need to introduce myself more? I guess maybe some people, this is their first time listening, but that's okay. I'll move right along. I am joined by my dazzling co-hosts, Robin and Mazen. Robin is a senior software engineer located in Portland, Oregon, works at Infinite Red, specializes in React Native. How's it going, Robin?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I don't feel very dazzling. What is this, Dancing with the Stars? Like, should I be sequin gown?
Okay, we better not go that direction because I'm horrible at dancing.
I'm also, for the record, like a million months pregnant, so probably wouldn't want to wear a sequin gown and... also, this don't could feel be very dazzling.
This could be your last.
It could be. It could be my last show
for a while.
For a while, yeah.
Can make a guest appearance.
Not forever.
Not forever. We'll miss you when you're gone, Robin. And also, we have Mazen Chami, who is. I've been calling you a guest co-host, but you know, at this point, we might as well just induct you in and say you're a co-host. Mazen lives in Durham, North Carolina. He's a former pro soccer player and coach, and is you're coaching, well, not pro soccer right now, but you're coaching right now, right?
Correct. Yeah. I have a under 13 girls youth soccer team here in North Carolina.
They get paid with ice cream and
yeah, orange slices. Yeah. Mazen is also a senior React Native engineer in his kind of spare time between soccer practice and works here at Infinite Red. This episode, by the way, speaking of Infinite Red, is sponsored by, and don't skip forward. I know some of you do this. I can see it. I can see it on the statistics that some of you are skipping through this, and you're not supposed to skip through this. In fact, I'm going to bring this up later when you least expect it and you can't skip it. This episode is sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remote in the US and Canada. And if I had like a huge giveaway, like $1 million, I would put it right here so that the people who actually listen to the sponsorship would have heard all about it. No, I've lost my spot. If you're looking for React Native expertise on your next React Native project, hit us up. You can learn more on our website, infinite.red/React Native. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio podcast.
We have a party every time.
We do.
Every time someone says they heard about us on the podcast, we have a party.
You should see all the Slack reactions. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. And also, imagine working with this dazzling team. Like, who wouldn't want to work with Robin and Mazen? I mean, you have to work with me, but like, that's more than enough to offset. If you're a senior level React Native engineer located in the US or Canada, go to careers.infinite.red. Okay, let's get into our topic for today and welcome back all of you who skipped the previous 30 seconds.
You may have missed something, so mm-hmm. I'll go back.
You never know.
So this is the React Native EU 2021 roundup. And React Native EU was completely online this year, just as it was last year. It was put on by our friends over at Callstack. Callstack did an amazing job. I mean, I'm not normally like a big fan of online conferences, to be honest. There's a reason why we didn't do it with Chain React. You know, like we just didn't feel like we could do kind of have that Chain React feel. But as far as online conferences go,
RNEU,
they did a great job. Like the graphics that they did, the intros, the like all kinds of cool stuff around this. Callstack really killed it. So big kudos out to Mike and Anna and the crew over there at Callstack for React Native EU. We watched all the talks, by the way, so you don't have to, but we're not going to cover every talk. So if you want an exhaustive coverage, you're going to have to go back and review
make sure to put the links to the full conference in the show notes.
Yeah, you'll be able to check all that out. I'm sure they're coming out on YouTube, maybe edited down, whatnot. But we have put together some highlights. We even have sound bites. We are getting professional here.
Wow. Jamin learned how to use loopback just for this.
All right, let's start with day one. Mark from Expo, and by the way, I wanted to say his last name. I think it's Mark Ralsavi. I could totally have butchered that. The problem was Mike from Callstack just said Mark from Expo. And then when Mark started, he just said, "Hi, I'm Mark." So I don't know how to say his last name.
Apologies to Mark if Jamin just butchered it. But
yeah, Mark Ralsavi from Expo. So Mark was talking about JSI. His talk was how JSI powers the most advanced camera library. JSI, you know, essentially is like a replacement for the bridge. You could actually call directly into native code from JavaScript. By the way, little pitch, I've been doing some Twitch streaming lately, twitch.tv/Jamin Holmgren. React Native Live is what I'm calling the series. And I'll probably go into JSI at some point and start hacking on some stuff. But let's actually listen to the first soundbite here.
So that's why the React Native Bridge was invented. It provided a tunnel to send messages between native and JavaScript. If you wanted to find out the IP address, you have to send a message like get IP address to the native world. The native world receives that message, finds out the actual IP address, and then sends back another message with the IP address in it. JavaScript receives that message, and now JavaScript has a value which contains the IP address, which is a string. This is, of course, not an ideal solution, since the bridge uses a batching system, and the message is not immediately sent, but rather batched with other messages. At some later point in time, all of the messages are then sent to native. Also, there's a lot of serialization going on here, which is done in the JSON format. So you cannot send a number to the native function. It has to be converted to a string, a JSON, first. As you can imagine, that's really slow. Okay, so what's the solution? Well, since our JavaScript runtimes, JavaScript Core, Hermes V8, are written in C or C++, some very smart people invented a C++ API called JSI. JSI is an abstraction layer over virtually any JavaScript runtime. It works the same for JavaScript Core, for Hermes, for V8, and any other runtimes that might implement JSI. So if you know object-oriented programming, you can think of it like an interface, which is exactly what it is. It has functions defined, which the runtimes implement.
Okay, so sorry about that. It's a little bit longer of a soundbite. Most of ours are shorter, but I thought that it was important to include the whole thing. And Mark kind of talks about the bridge to start with and sort of its limitations there, as well as what's the solution, which is JSI. Like, let's talk directly between JavaScript and, you know, the native layer, Java or Objective-C. He went into quite a bit of detail, and he actually showed like how to do this, which I thought was pretty interesting. It was hard to follow, though. I mean, definitely very technical.
This is like as advanced as it gets.
Yes.
For React Native. This is like the core of how React Native works.
Right. Exactly.
Most people don't even have to think about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, most people who don't go into native code will never have to think about this, but it's also nice to see how it works, to kind of know and understand what's actually happening in the background. Yeah. So it's like the back end for front end sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the back end for front end.
I like being aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have a note here, like we were taking notes as we went through this, and I have a note that says, it's cool that it's possible, but it really needs some sort of DSL or sugar. I really, you know, like I'm not afraid of native code necessarily. I'm happy to, you know, dive into it and stuff. But like at a certain point when you're wiring up many, many lines of code just to have a simple add function, which is kind of what he did.
Yeah.
You're sort of like, well, is there an easier way?
That was my first thought. I was like, that's a lot of code for an add function. Wow.
Yeah. And it was C++ too, which, you know, like adds another language you need to learn. And C++ has a vast, vast surface area. So like I've been around C++. It was actually the second language I ever learned.
Fun fact, I took a C++ class in college and I still have the textbook and it's like 2 inches thick.
And despite that, you became a programmer.
Yeah.
C++ was the first language I learned too in college. I started off engineering and that was the first language and then eventually switched in Java.
We mostly wrote like leap year programs. And
oh, I tried to do that in JavaScript on Twitter the other day while laying in bed, like just on a tweet, like do a leap year function. It was such a disaster. I deleted the whole thread and am pretending it never happened.
I didn't know you deleted it. I remember when you did that.
I deleted it. It was so embarrassingly bad. I mean, the code looked cool, but it didn't work. So whatever. The best code is no code.
Yes.
After Mark's talk, Joshua Gross then talked, I think he works for Facebook. Yes. And his talk was the new React Native bringing the Fabric renderer to the Facebook app. I think the biggest takeaway from this was how hard it's been, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, one of the takeaways is that the Facebook app is enormous and it's very complex and large. But the other takeaway that I thought was really helpful was that he said their initial estimate was like 6 months mm-hmm. for doing the whole app. And then it took them something like 3 years. So
sounds about right.
A 5x estimate growth. So don't feel bad if your estimates are wrong sometimes.
Because estimating
it
so
happens
hard.
At Facebook.
We should do an episode on estimating sometime.
Oh, yeah, we definitely should.
I estimate we'll do that in the next month or two. Also, one interesting that came out of that was that most apps won't have to do any work to upgrade to Fabric, right? Like it's kind of under the hood.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of it is because they worked out a lot of the kinks doing this whole mm-hmm. process at Facebook. And part of it is because the average app will not have anything complex enough that the renderer change will require anything for you to do. So don't stress too much about it.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know what Fabric is and kind of what the benefits bring, we're going to do episodes on it once it starts coming out.
Definitely.
I mean episodes. It's not just going to be one. We're going to be, you know, deep diving a little more. This is something that's very interesting to me, and it's something I want to cover more in depth. But
well, and it's so the Fabric renderer and JSI mentioned in Mark's talk, they're all sort of part of this new React Native architecture, right? Which has a bunch of different components that hasn't been rolled out yet, but will be soon.
Turbo modules, you know, all that. After that talk, Khalef Hosani gave a talk on unlocking the next generation of desktop apps with React Native, which that's something that's kind of near and dear to our heart. One of, I guess, if there's a technical slogan for 2021 for Infinite Red, it's been React Native all platforms. And so this is very, very interesting topic. You know, for us.
Yeah. Is React Native supposed to replace Electron for super easy desktop apps now?
I think it's literally replacing.
Yeah. That was part of his demo. He showed two different companies out there that are using React Native for Windows and Mac OS and creating specific apps. One of them was Nomadics, which is a digital online learning tool fully built in React Native. And, you know, with the pandemic and everyone going online, that's a great example of it. You know, they had Smart Label and Smart Paper, which were like their two things where you can sketch and a teacher can kind of see your process as you were doing the math equation or something like that. And also some major banks in the UAE are using React Native for their platform, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I know that Facebook Messenger is being rewritten in React Native for desktop. I'm talking the desktop app.
Yeah.
And I believe it's Electron right now. So that is sort of a switcheroo. Maybe eventually we'll rewrite Reactatron in React Native for desktop. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that would be really meta. That would,
yeah.
Very appropriate. I personally think this is a great direction that things are heading in. I'm always really excited when my favorite mobile app has a desktop version, especially if it's something I use at work, because I'd much rather like have a desktop app open like in the background on my laptop than have to like run something on my phone simultaneously.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you, Pandora.
I use Pandora too. It seems to be like the old person.
No one uses it anymore.
Everyone's, I know.
Everyone's on Spotify. Spotify is great. But there was something about the Pandora algorithm that just like had my music taste just dialed in.
That's what it is for me too. Like I try other ones. I do like YouTube Music and I try some others and I always end up going back. I don't know
why. But yeah. If Pandora could make a React Native desktop app, hey, if you maybe we can build it for you. Pandora, if you're listening.
Robin, when she's back from maternity leave,
I want to build your React Native desktop app.
We'll lead your project. By the way, that is a huge, if I was Pandora, I'd be like, yeah, I'm taking you up on that. All right. So Satya Sahu, who works for Callstack, did a talk on React Navigation 6, called React Navigation 6, fresh from the oven. And essentially React Navigation 6 is mostly building on the React Navigation 5 API. It's not like a complete overhaul like 4 to 5 was. Wasn't it 4 to 5 that was like a giant change? I think so. They also announced React Navigation Elements, which is a component library that contains the UI elements and helpers used in React Navigation, which is mostly useful if you're building your own navigator or want to reuse some of the default functionality in your own app.
One thing he also mentioned was with 6, it's basically, you know, built upon 5, but also you can mix and match what functions you use. So you could, you know, if you have some specific functions that are specific to 5, you can still use them in 6, which I think is pretty good. So you can kind of take your time as you're refactoring the app and get it up to speed with 6, which is pretty cool. And I don't think, you know, a lot of packages are that backward compatible.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of work on the part of the package maintainers to have that kind of inclusive upgrade path. But with the number of users using React Navigation, I think it's a really good thing.
Yeah. It's sort of the blessing and curse of having a popular open source library.
It's almost become the navigation library, and it has the blessing of a lot of core React Native maintainers.
We use it.
And Expo is so integrated with React Native Core at this point that they have a lot of muscle behind maintaining it. So,
and they've really done a great job continuing to push it forward. They put a lot of work into it and we all appreciate it. It's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. They really feels like they listen to feedback, like the things that people are complaining about, which
for sure
it can be hard as a maintainer to hear people like complain about your library, but they really take it into consideration, and there's been like it's a completely different library, and it's so nice to use now.
We have a soundbite, so this is soundbite 2. I'm gonna play it here.
They did not read the documentation, even if it was mentioned.
Okay, this one was a lot shorter.
Yeah,
they did not read the documentation.
some frustration there at people who complain about something not working, even though it's spelled out in the documentation.
Right.
So they just added a little bit more sugar on top, a little bit more of a all-in-one solution. So it's a little bit easier. I enjoyed that little bit of shade.
That's funny.
So read the documentation, people.
Read the documentation.
You know, honestly, if you go read the documentation, like all of it, and then come back to your team and like you're going to look like the expert in the whole team because nobody else has. So you're going to be the one who knows everything about it.
Yeah.
But it is really cool to see all the stuff that they've added. More flexibility, tab bar style, like styles can be per screen. What else?
I really liked stack.group, which is purely for organization and like sharing of configuration. But I always love anything that makes my code more organized.
It's now, you know, they did some TypeScript improvements. Everyone's mm-hmm. doing that these days, which is great and helps you as you're coding to autofill. And by default now, underneath the hood, it's using React Native screens. And I believe
the native.
Jim, and you brought that up in the favorite packages, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I love that one. It's great. It's so cool that you can actually have native navigation powering something that is controlled by React Native.
Yeah, the project Robin and I are on, we use React Navigation 5.
Okay.
And it's been great. I haven't had any issues with it. So I can only imagine, you know, the improvements that they're talking about in 6, how much better that would be.
And there's TypeScript improvements as well. TypeScript, of course, is eating the JavaScript world right now. So then our good buddy Sankit Sahu from Geeky Ants in India, he gave a really good talk, Building Accessibility Hooks for React Native and Web. I really liked this talk. Sankit did an amazing job. So I would recommend that everybody go watch this one for sure. I mean, you can watch all of the ones we talk about for sure, but this one stood out to me. Accessibility is one of those things that I think in the past, and I tweeted about this, or maybe I just slacked about it, but in the past, it felt like a lot of accessibility talks were sort of saying, you need to be doing this. You should be thinking about this. You're bad if you don't do this, you know, stuff like that. And it felt like with Sankit, like he just was like, hey, here's how to do it. And it's not that hard. You know, here's some practical advice.
Yeah. I really like that. How specific he was about like, okay, here are the things, if you're trying to make your app accessible, here are the things you need to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like screen readers, which is what a lot of people think about when they think of accessibility. But it's like, it's screen readers, it's contrast ratios, it's responsiveness, which is one that a lot of people don't think about for accessibility. But like, if you turn your text size up in order to be able to see it, you need your app to be responsive. And being able to navigate websites with the keyboard instead of the mouse, like, I found that really helpful.
I think a lot of devs think this is hard to do. But, you know, Sankit did a good job of just showing, you know, you can start very simple by just putting in your ARIA dash, you know, star, whatever it is, disabled or label. And it pretty much does most of the things for you that Robin just mentioned. And it's not that much overhead to do. You know, if you have your custom components, you just add your ARIA labels to that and essentially translates across the board.
He was specifically talking about React ARIA and Geeky Ants' package React Native ARIA for accessibility, which is a third-party solution. There are accessibility props that come with React Native by default too.
Their package supports React Native Web, which is great as well. Sankit also had a really cool moment where he showed the screen reader working. So I'm going to play a soundbite about that.
And the same thing works for screen readers on different platforms. So this is an example of Android. Let's see that. I hope you can hear it.
Tapped. More options menu button. Pop-up window. Menu item Arial. Menu item Tahoma disabled. Menu item Roboto.
I think that it's really cool because it like that you can hear how the screen reader is working. Like, you know, obviously it was reading off the menu items that he was tapping on, but also it told him that one was disabled. It told him what it was, and then it told him this is disabled. You can't click it, you know, which is really cool. I thought some of those moments in his talk were pretty neat.
Yeah. And I think we're probably going to have an accessibility episode in the next little bit. So we'll come back to this topic and go into it a little more in depth because it's really important and really cool. So
biggest question is, how do we work around your maternity leave?
Robin? I might
we either
have to
sneak it in or we do it afterward. I don't know.
Or maybe there'll be a baby co-host. We'll see.
We'll have some sound bites from the baby.
Yeah.
Then Milica Alexic gave a talk, React Developers in a Wild World of Native Apps. So this is something that I think a lot of people coming to React Native will identify with. She was a React JS web developer and came into React Native. And, you know, we even did an episode recently with John Major Condon where we talked about that transition, which was good. We have a soundbite from her talk, so I'll go ahead and roll the tape on that. Tape, that sounds really old. But
what is this, the 80s?
The 80s, yeah.
JS library, and that is style components. Style components allows you to write an actual CSS code to style components. And benefits of using style components are that you will have CSS syntax out of the box, you can use dynamic styling, you can use theming. And with style components, you can also support more complex styles like transform, which is really great. So if you're familiar with style components and you can use it on the web before, my advice is to go for it.
That clip stood out to me because as we've talked about with web programmers moving to React Native, one of the biggest changes is building the UI and how because otherwise it's React, but then the UI layer is what's different. And so not having CSS can be kind of jarring. So style components is a really, really great option. If you've used it on the web, you can use it on React Native as well and still use CSS, which can really help ease the transition, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. Being able to draw parallels between and have analogs, basically, between the thing you know versus the thing that you're learning is always a really helpful thing when you're transitioning into a new technology. So for me, when I learned native code, I initially learned it using RubyMotion, which allowed me to use Ruby stuff that I knew to learn CocoaTouch APIs on iOS. And then later, learning Objective-C was just learning the syntax. I already knew the APIs. So it gave me analogs to move into easier. With React.js to React Native, there's stuff like this. And Melitza did a good job of presenting that.
I think the React Native ecosystem or React ecosystem in general is really doing a good job of letting developers work in both environments very easily.
Mm-hmm.
We won't go into the div that Jamin likes so much and, get to views and stuff like that. Other than that piece, I think, they do a good job, and there's a lot of different packages similar to this one that make it real easy to flip back and forth and have engineers and developers be in both environments.
So we're getting toward the end of day one. John Samp gave a talk, How to Iterate on Your App Faster with Expo. I actually ended up missing this talk, but I know that both of you said that it was a really good talk, and I'm going to go back and watch it for the first time later. But what did you find cool about this one?
This was just a really, really great overview of the entire Expo ecosystem and how powerful it is now and how much they've grown and how it really is the default way to build React Native apps now. He focused on iteration. Expo has really, really integrated over-the-air updates now, which can help make changes faster and get them out to your users.
Yeah, I feel like that sort of fast feedback loop and whatnot is just so, so valuable for developers. Whenever you have this long rebuild cycle, it's never fun. We do have a soundbite on this one, so I'm going to go ahead and roll the 8-track on this.
So one awesome change that we've come out with this year with EAS is that you can build an app with any native code. You can add native modules like Bluetooth, or you can also add in-app purchases or things like a blur hash module that will allow you to add in a native module that blurs out your images as placeholders. There's tons of these, and you can add codes like this and we will still build your app for you. And that is now possible.
That's awesome. Yeah, native code with Expo. How long have we been saying that the reason we can't use Expo is because we can't integrate custom native code? But that's no longer going to be the case. And I think we talked about this a little bit with
Brent
when we were going over the what's latest with Expo in a previous episode of React Native Radio.
Now you don't have an excuse to eject from Expo, essentially.
Well, while I was watching this talk, we had Slack threads going at Infinite Red, just chatting about the talks as they were happening. And I said, wow, we really just don't have any good reasons not to be using Expo for all of our projects now. It's come so far.
Yeah, I really do feel like we should be probably starting with Expo. And obviously, if we run into something that's just untenable, then we can certainly, move away from it. But Ignite supports Expo for this reason, because we see it coming. And I've said since, I think, probably 2017-ish, that Expo, to me, is the future of where React Native is going. And we're seeing that happen before our eyes, which is awesome. So that does it for day one. We're going to move into day two. We're probably not going to cover quite as many of day two's talks, unfortunately. I wish we had more time, but you know, we're already pretty deep into the podcast, so let's move along. Powell Trisla talked about code splitting in React Native. Code splitting is kind of a web concept generally. Obviously, you know, like the tooling in React Native is mostly built around having one big bundle. But sometimes it can be advantageous to split your code into multiple bundles. And so that, so he talked about that.
I enjoyed this talk mostly because I didn't really know what code splitting was before. And now I feel like I know.
Because you were a back-end developer before you moved to React Native. Yes. So you never really had that
web experience. I never really did front-end web. So yeah, I didn't really have that experience. So yeah, this is really interesting about why you might want to code split and how Webpack is the ultimate code splitter.
Did he talk about how Hermes will affect this? Because Hermes does some kind of like on-demand loading stuff with its bytecode.
I don't remember. I do remember him saying something about Hermes, but I,
Maybe we'll have to have him on and talk about some of the stuff, but they have a solution there at Callstack called Repack, and I've watched some of their YouTube videos about it. It's based on Webpack.
Yeah, it's basically Webpack for React Native.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the only thing that is a little like I'm not sure about with Repack is that it sort of brings Webpack's, you know, sort of like its power, but also its complexity. And I think they even say that, like, if you don't need this, like, it's fine to use Metro.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely acknowledged that Webpack is high power, high burden of entry. The configuration options for Webpack are extremely numerous and powerful, and you can do pretty much anything you need to do, but it's very hard to understand sometimes.
Yeah.
Use Metro if for most of your use cases.
Exactly. So there are a couple of animation talks, one by Grant Sander and one by Alexander Kuttig. So we'll talk about those both kind of, they were back to back right after each other. Both were very good. And the, I'm going to play the soundbite first, which is the only soundbite we have from day two. Going to rotate the record here.
When working with animations, at least when we work with animations in our company, for us, there are three ways to deal with animations. First one is the internal React Native Animated API, which does a good job for simple animations. And we like to work with it a lot. Second one is the great Lottie framework. There are SDKs for native integration, but also React Native Lottie SDK. So it's very simple to use and I like it a lot. So if you have never heard of it, you will be really surprised how easy it is to integrate animations, smooth animations running at 60 FPS. In React Native. And third of all, it's the awesome Reanimated framework, which recently was released in a second version. I love to work with it. If you have never worked with it, you should definitely have a look at it. I think I read in a blog post lately, it's the gold standard of animation, and I couldn't agree more. It's really awesome.
So in this clip, he's essentially kind of contrasting the three options, one of which is built right into React Native. That's the animated library built into React Native. And then talking about Lottie and Reanimated 2. Those are kind of the three main animation libraries. And they all kind of have different, there's some overlap for sure, but they have different purposes. And I would say, generally speaking, you wouldn't use the built-in animated and Reanimated 2. You would choose one or the other. But you certainly could use Lottie and one of the other two.
Yeah, absolutely. And LottieFiles.com has a lot of different animations that are there. I think some are open source and some you have to pay, but it's very cheap, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, you can make your app a little more user-friendly, I guess is the word to say. So instead of loading, you know, usual loading indicator, you can have something pretty fancy and without, you know, a high burden, essentially. It's super complex to set it up, I believe. But, you know, not more than any other library out there that requires linking.
I should mention that sound clip was Alexander there. But obviously Grant also talked about this and he went into depth more with Reanimated too, right?
Yes.
If you didn't listen to Grant's talk, I recommend it. it was very helpful to see Reanimated's power, I guess is the word here. I've used React Native's Animated that comes with it already in addition to Lottie, but I feel like seeing all the different hooks and capabilities of Reanimated 2 makes me want to, you know, transition everything that I've done in Animated to Reanimated 2 because it makes it so much easier. They have the one that stuck out to me was use Animated Scroll Handler. A lot of times we're using some complex functions to handle scrolling, but Reanimated does a really good job of having that pretty much done for you.
I love how many libraries are utilizing hooks and how like there's so much complex stuff being boiled down to use something, 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 and it just works.
We're doing an SDK for a big company that we can't currently, but we'll be able to in the future mention. And we're building a React Native SDK for them. And we are shipping it with the normal way to do some listeners and stuff like that is sort of your normal way of like adding event listeners and stuff in JavaScript. But we are shipping it with some hooks alternatives as well. So you can just use blank, blank thing and it just works. Like it pulls it right in and does a use effect and sets up the dependencies and everything. So yeah, I'm a big fan of that. But yeah, these animation ones are very cool. At some point, we may want to look at bringing Reanimated 2 into Ignite and show some examples maybe in one of the demo screens of how to use it and just have it as part of our default stack. I guess that's something that, you know, as we get more projects that we've used with Reanimated 2 and more, you know, familiar and comfortable with it, we can make that decision. Also have to kind of look at like, you know, sort of the cost that it brings in terms of bundle size and whatnot. But just two more talks to talk about. One was Thor Schaeff, and he talked about Show Me the Money, securely accepting payments in React Native apps. And this was from Stripe. Stripe just released Stripe React Native. And so I think we got some good reviews on this talk as well. Like it was very interesting.
I really enjoyed it. I've used Stripe on the web before, and their components were really, really nice. And they're animated too. And they brought that into React Native, and it's, you know, just like you would use it in web and secure. If, you know, for those people that are thinking about security, it's PCI compliant, and I forget what the European compliance is. It's also compliant with that.
Yeah, he made it clear that the reason you want to use the Stripe SDK as opposed to just like connecting to Stripe APIs directly is because the SDK ensures PCI compliance and makes sure all that's taken care of for you. So yeah, this is a way to get those Stripe SDKs into your React Native app.
Yeah, and it looks like Expo also supports it since their SDK 42, which is awesome.
Does it sort of support Stripe Connect?
It does. I actually went and looked into that because Stripe Connect was something we had to do some kind of janky workarounds with web views and stuff before, but now totally supported.
But now the two factors that made us have to do that are now fixed because that was because we were using Expo.
That's true. Yeah. Because we were using Expo, we couldn't use their normal like iOS and Android SDK. So very good news over there. Last talk that we're going to talk about is Lars Thorup. And that talk was about sub-second integration tests for your React Native app and Bluetooth device. And I specifically wanted to kind of bring this one up because I know Mazen has had a lot of Bluetooth like experience. So he talked a lot about React Native BLE PLX. Mazen, you've used that before, right?
Yes. It's actually also in production in an app that I did. He kind of goes through all the testing of it. I did the testing part and it worked great. My main part of this was Chain React 2019. I attended that and one of my main purposes being there was to kind of connect with Vlad, who was giving a talk about this package. And afterwards, I kind of spoke to him and he showed me what was going on with React Native BLE PLX. And on my flight back home, I ended up rewriting the app using this library. And kind of by the time I got home, it was all done and set and ended up releasing that to the store. I didn't do the testing part on the flight, but I got the major functionality down. Then I did the testing part and it worked out great. It's in production and it's communicating via Bluetooth to the device. And yeah, it was a great experience. Their documentation too is very good.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think we may have some Bluetooth stuff coming up at some Infinite Red internal projects. So when that happens, I'll definitely be, you know, picking your brain, Mazen. or yeah. putting you on the project, I guess, depending on how this goes.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, it was a great conference. A lot of really good information packed in. Like I said, our friends over at CallStack did a great job with this. So nice job, Mike and Anna and the rest. This, of course, will be published probably in a couple weeks afterwards. So hopefully all of the talks will have been kind of edited and pushed out. If not, they do have the live streams that you can kind of skip through and listen to the talks there. And yeah, very cool. I really obviously wish that we could do in-person conferences. I went to React Native 2019, which was the last in-person one, and it was awesome. Loved it. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully be back next year. And of course, Chain React, our conference, will hopefully be back next year as well. We'll see.
Yeah, they showed during the conference breaks, they showed some of the ads or like the promo trailer things for React Native EU 2019. And it made me really like sad. Like, yeah. Oh, that's what it used to be like. That was fun. So next
year. Didn't one of those have a picture of me in it? Someone caught it. I think Mazen got a screenshot.
Yeah, it's in the agenda.
I was there. I can prove it.
So we're excited to get back to them next year.
You can find us on Twitter at React Native RDIO. You can find Robin at Robin underscore Heinz with an E. You can find Mazen at Mazen Chami and me at Jamin Holmgren. Thank you both for all of your, that was actually quite a bit of work to bring all these notes in and, you know, help me like cut these sound bites and stuff. Maybe we should do those sound bites more often. I really kind of, it's fun. And of course, as always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our assistant editor and episode release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, our social media coordinator, Missy Warren, and our designer, Justin Husky. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out, infinite.red/react-native. Special thanks to all of you listening today. Make sure to subscribe, send this episode to a friend, and, you know, all those things. Reminder, we are hiring React Native engineers. Go to careers.infinite.red, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye.